Sarah is in East Dulwich. Sarah, what would you like to say this morning?
Good morning, James.
Hello.
I'm a little nervous, so bear with me.
Of course I shall.
I have personal experience, unfortunately. I was in residential care in the 70s and 80s and was sexually abused by my parents and by the staff, and was taken by the staff members to the homes of very wealthy, famous people and abused. And I reported it throughout my childhood, and nobody did anything. And then in the late 90s, I had to go to the job centre, and there, when I got there, was a newspaper on the desk that had an investigation into the home that I was in. And so that shattered my world, because suddenly the things that I had been trying to tell myself for years that I was making up, there they were in black and white, in print. And when I went to the police station and spoke with them, they told me that they already knew my name because so many people had spoken of me. I tried to go for a criminal prosecution and was told I didn't have enough evidence, that my memory was too scattered, and that they couldn't do anything. I tried to go for a civil prosecution and was told that it would be unfair to the perpetrators, as I had a social service file that I could look back at and refresh my memory, whereas the abusers didn't. When I met with one of the solicitors and a QC, they sat laughing as they said, let's hope you don't get judged such and such, because he is known to be the paedophile's friend. There is a cover-up here. There is also people...
I mean, you're certain... Because I don't think anyone would dispute the plausibility of there being paedophiles in positions of power in any organisation. It's a statistical certainty, but the leap from that to the notion that they are all somehow in cahoots with each other, this phrase network perhaps, that is harder.
That's the very nature of paedophilia. And to quickly reference this thing about,
you don't have to be quick, Sarah. You don't have to be.
Sorry, there's so much I wanted to say, because
well, say
I'm sick to death of putting the radio on. And okay, it's Friday today, but Mystery Hour, hello, I like Mystery Hour, you want to listen to the radio, I want to be taken away, let's see what we can hear today.
Yes.
And here was my past just vomited at me on a daily basis at the moment.
Inevitably, that, I'm afraid, but I understand your discomfort.
Yes, and, you know, people didn't come forward, not just because they were scared, people came forward. I began being raped at the age of 12 weeks, doctors knew. Nurses knew, police knew, nobody did anything. I was thrown at a wall by my mother at 2 years old. My teeth were knocked out. I was taken to the hospital by the social worker and found to have a herpes infection in my mouth, and was given back to my mum, being told that I had to have time to bond with her. What did the doctors do? What did the social services do?
They looked the other way. They looked the other way, Sarah.
Evil prospers when good people do nothing.
Indeed it does, but it doesn't prove that they were part of a web, does it? I don't think you're even suggesting that.
No, not the doctors necessarily, but I think the very way a paedophile network works is that there is a cover-up. You don't go around saying, I like having sex with children. This is not what they're doing.
So how do they find each other then, do you think?
I think there are broad groups. I think there are secret handshakes, all of that sort of stuff. I think the way, I think there's a disgusting kind of attraction to each other.
Mm.
But there seems to be a behavior. You know, how the way a paedophile knows, I choose that child over this child. This child will keep their mouth shut.
That was the most, yes, you're right. The first day we talked about this, someone told me that, and I've checked the research since, and it's sound, that the idea that if you go into a prison where child abusers are held and show them 30 photographs of 30 different children, they will all identify the same one or two as being the most likely victim, and that's from a two-dimensional photograph.
Absolutely.
So there's a shared psychopathy, or a shared pathology, I think they would call it.
Absolutely. And they're all very similar sorts of people, you know. And the idea, it's like no more than a burglar has a bag over his shoulder that says swag. You know, paedophiles aren't in raincoats. They're not all unattractive people. Many of them are very handsome, charming people. The rapes aren't always violent. These people are seducers. That's what they do. That's what the whole thing is about. That's why it's so pernicious. because as an adult now, I'm still in recovery from everything that's happened.
Of course.
Having had to claim benefits, unable to work due to flashbacks, due to the physical results of what's happened to me. So then I bear the backlash of all these people on benefits and all this stuff. This is...
Well, not here.
I think this is just the beginning. And I would ask everybody to write to their MP and say, change the law that says to people who've been abused, you only have 3 years from your date of knowledge to bring people to justice. If you really care about children, please, write to your MP, write to the people in power and say, you have to change this law. How many people have come forward about Jimmy Savile? Something like 400 people.
But there are cases of historic abuse being leading to convictions. But would they have had to have come... those cases would have been revisited, would they?
James, mine was such a case. Mine was such a case. The children's home that I was in, that the police told me in the end, we know about you because so many people have mentioned that you were there. They made films of us. We were forced to engage with each other while they filmed. And I'm told, fortunately, the technology is such that those pictures won't be on the internet at the moment. There was a paedophile ring operating there for a 50-year period. Just sending fresh, vulnerable children to there. Mine is a case of ritualistic, satanic. It does happen. Don't close your eyes to it. Don't close your ears to it. This is happening. And the way you keep yourself safe is to be vigilant all the time.
If I close my eyes or ears to the satanic element, it's no different to agnosticism or atheism. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a cruel position. Mm-hmm. You're telling me people believe in Satan. I know that's
true. It's not so much that people believe in Satan, it's that people believe in Satan and sacrifice children in the process of following those beliefs. Mm. That people, I can't even say some of the stuff. There may be children listening, and people don't really want to hear it. As you say, when people say, oh, you were abused as a child, and there's a kind of salaciousness. It's like sort of flicking a peek at page 3 and on to the next thing. This is a life. These are lies. These are lives that are completely destroyed. And actually what they do, I remember Oprah, of all people, going to a prison to speak to some men who were all paedophiles, who were all convicted, multiple convictions for abusing children. And she said to one man, do you know what you did? Do you really understand what you did? And he said, yes, I murdered who they were supposed to be. Wow. And that's it. So it's like I was murdered, but there's no body, there's nobody to say, you took me from myself. And now we've got to hear this every day with people phoning up just talking nonsense. Where they get their ideas from, I don't know.
What sort of ideas do you mean? What are you particularly upset by?
Well, some of the stuff, just people kind of saying, I was really upset in the first instance how people were saying, it can't be true, this stuff doesn't happen. Why are they only coming forward now? They're only coming forward for compensation.
Yes, you will hear that.
Part of the reason people don't come forward is because the brain is a very powerful thing and protects you from the horror of that. It's like being abused on a daily basis is like suffering an incredibly damaging car crash every single day. It's the same thing on the psyche. So the brain doesn't allow you to remember until you become a bit healthier. That's one reason. Some people, the police that I worked with on my case told me that there were people that they had names that had been brought up by other victims, and they went to visit some of them. These people had breakdowns, not having remembered any of it. Suddenly being confronted with the reality, saying, well, we actually have pictures of you. We have statements from other people.
Because they had managed to shut that part of their memory.
They had somehow managed to shut it out, but still were living dysfunctional, pained lives. Unaware of why they couldn't quite get their act together.
You highlight another difficulty, which is the confidence with which we could distinguish between what could be described as a cowardice, a sort of moral cowardice, from which I think most people suffer. I suffer from it. Idea that, I mean, someone's tweeted while you were talking to describe this as one of those moments where you actually want to turn the radio off, but can't. And that's the sort of cowardice I describe. I would rather look away from this. And that is shameful, but it's not criminal. And then to know...
That is a natural human reaction.
Yes, and that's existence is unquestionable, because it happens now. It's happening in hundreds of thousands of radios across London as you speak. But that's not the same as a cover-up. That is a looking away.
Mm-hmm. It is a looking away, but there are people who looked away, and there are people... who made it easier for the people in power to do something to look away.
Yes.
Judges who have people before them who have raped and assaulted children. As a baby, how is it that as a baby, you know, I went before, my case was brought before the courts and it was thrown out. And there was medical evidence and everything, and it was thrown out.
Why do you think that happened then? Do you think that the people making that decision were facilitating or party to or untroubled by your abuse?
Untroubled, clearly, because some of the people in my home, I was taken by women. Most of the staff were women, and I was driven to the homes of very famous people for them to abuse me. Some under anaesthesia, so that causes me all sorts of medical problems. That happens. I think other people are so horrified, and they are so, their lives are so wonderful, but their lives are decent and good lives, that they just cannot fathom that people, that kind of horror is in the world.
A house of cards, you describe. If you pull that thread there, or you pull that, everything around you would crumble, would fall. That's why spouses, that's why family members sometimes choose not to believe allegations, because to believe them is really to call time upon everything you know to be true.
But also to have to say to themselves, because I don't believe that if you're a good parent, you could be in a home with your partner, male or female, and your child is being abused and say, I didn't know it was happening. What the hell are you doing that you don't know that's going on? But to come back to the cover-up, when you have judges who are described by solicitors laughing, this is the paedophile's friend, when you have doctors who prescribe parents' muscle relaxants to facilitate the abuse of a toddler, something's happening, but that's not being picked up on. Isn't that a cover-up when the doctors are checked over that this is happening? Why are you prescribing muscle relaxants to an 18-month-old baby who has genital sores, who has genital infections, who has sexually transmitted diseases? Well, what's happening?
You answer that for me.
I think it's a poison. And I can't say to you, I don't have the information
as
such to say.
What is your answer? Because we've never been asked this before. You must have asked this question a million times of yourself. What answers have you come up with?
Why people did nothing?
Yeah.
Because some people are untroubled. Some people just really, I can't swear, but some people don't give a damn. They don't care. It's not my kid. Not bothered. Next one. Let's have the next kid.
I'm sitting in my surgery with all my alarm bells ringing, and I'm thinking, if I actually respond to these alarm bells, God knows where it will end.
Exactly. Maybe people don't want to be the person, are people saying to themselves, hang on, if so many people have brought cases about the Jimmy Savile thing, why didn't each individual person come forward sooner? Why do we suddenly have this flurry? Because to be that first person to say, and I was told, you're lying, all throughout my childhood, and I was sent to psychiatrists because they said, this child is severely troubled and lies. For my court cases, I was given my social service file. There was no cover-up in the file. It talks in detailed fashion about this child again is crying. I remember staff laughing when I was bleeding. My genitals as a 5-year-old were bleeding, and the staff were laughing. She says she saw. because that's funny. I wouldn't let an animal be treated like that. And I know that the secretary was in the room who wasn't party to that, but said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I don't really want to be part of this. And would come in and bring me cheapo 70s cut glass faceted bottles just to say, now as an adult, I realised that was her thing. It's like, come on, be quiet, stop. It's really uncomfortable. We're really uncomfortable with this.
Or it was her. It was also her trying to help you while knowing
Absolutely.
That she couldn't give you the help that you really needed. These trinkets
that's
and
what
these,
I mean.
Yes.
That's what I mean, and I accept that. And some of those people I don't blame, because people can't do what they don't know how to do. That's a very hard thing to hear when you're being abused and you're in agony with it. And some people just simply don't have the backbone, and some people don't care, and some people actively cover up and facilitate abuse. And we mustn't forget that. We mustn't forget that. And I just want to say, if you care about children, because we all say we care about children, that, you know, the RSPCA adverts ask for £3 a month and the NSPCC ask for £2 a month. Mm. I'm always kind of struck by that. If you care about children, write to your MP. Say, we need to change the laws. We are not caring for children in this country. And I'm pained at the moment because 30-odd years on from the abuse that I endured, the same stories are coming out. I'm the baby P that lived. I'm the baby P that didn't get to die. I'm the baby P that lived with the bruises and the fractures and the damaged pelvis and the adult incontinence from being repeatedly raped as a child. Do something about it. Be uncomfortable. Turn your radio off. Go and write a letter. Write an email. Twitter it. Tweet it. Whatever you want to do, but do something about it. Don't sit there and say, I'm so uncomfortable. It's not like being outside and your coat's a bit light. I'm uncomfortable. This is serious. This goes to the fibre of who we are as people. And if you really care about children, do something about it. You don't have to go out there with a banner. You don't have to become a campaigner. But you can quietly write a letter. Start with that. Bombard them and say, you're in service to us. What a role of privilege. You know, David Cameron, what a role of privilege you have to be in service to your country. Do something about it. Don't close your eyes. But, yes, we'll mount another inquiry. Yeah, sure.
Well, what would you expect the letters to achieve other than a promise of looking properly into these allegations?
I think
stories?
We flood them. We flood them until, you know, you keep going. Make a pest of yourself with it, you know? We've got to make a noise about it, a quiet noise about this. Because I can't see how is it that somebody robs a bank, they get 15 years in prison, somebody rapes multiple children and gets a suspended sentence. This happens all the time. Or a judge who gave a rapist a suspended sentence because he chose to wear a condom. You know, what are we doing? The way we look at sex crime, it's not about sex. That's the thing. So this whole gay thing is just, it's nonsense. It's not about sex. It's about power. Surely if you want to have sex with somebody, there are lots of ways to engage in sexual activity without violence.
Of course.
It's about power. It's about the annihilation of somebody's soul. Because if these people knew your spirit, if we knew, okay, this is the kneecap, this is the hip, this is the toe, this is where the soul lies, this is where your spirit lies, they would gouge that out immediately. And that's what we're allowing people to do. We're allowing them to take the spirit and the soul of children and leave these empty shells walking around. And then we wonder why we have such dysfunction in the world. I know that, you know, it seems kind of a bit of a jump, but actually it's connected. Don't be part of the cover-up.
And everyone who does nothing is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sarah, thank you for phoning me.
Thank you.
Look after yourself.
I will do. Thank you.